in the Apennine foothills of the Italian province of Foggia. In the style of medieval villages, the town is organized around a large central square. Facing the square is the Palazzo Marchesale, the palace of the Seghese family, once the great landowner of these parts. An archway to one side leads to a church, the Madonna del Carmine. Narrow stone steps run up the hillside, flanked by closely clustered two-story stone houses with red tile roofs. For centuries, the paesani of Fruzeto worked in the marble quarries in the surrounding hills, or cultivated the fields in the terraced valley below, walking 4 and 5 miles down the mountain in the morning and then making the long journey back up the hill at night. It was a hard life. The townsfolk were barely literate and desperately poor and without much hope for economic betterment, until word reached Fruzeto at the end of the 19th century of the land of opportunity across the ocean. In January of 1882, a group of 11 Rosettans, 10 men and 1 boy, set sail for New York. They spent their first night in America sleeping on the floor of a tavern on Mulberry Street in Manhattan's Little Italy. Then they ventured west, eventually finding jobs in a slate quarry 90 miles west of the city near the town of Bangor, Pennsylvania. The following year, 15 Rosettans left Italy for America, and several members of that group ended up in Bangor as well, joining their compatriots in the slate quarry. Those immigrants, in turn, sent word back to Fruzeto about the promise of the New World, and soon one group of Rosettans after another packed their bags and headed for Pennsylvania, until the initial stream of immigrants became a flood. In 1894 alone, some 1,200 Rosettans applied for passports to America, leaving entire streets of their old village abandoned. The Rosettans began buying land on a rocky hillside, connected to Bangor by a steep, rutted wagon path. They built closely clustered two-story stone houses with slate roofs on narrow streets running up and down the hillside. They built a church and called it Our Lady of Mount Carmel, and named the main street on which it stood Garibaldi Avenue, after the great hero of Italian unification. In the beginning, they called their town New Italy, but they soon changed it to Fruzeto, which seemed only appropriate given that in the previous decade, almost all of them had come from the same village in Italy. In 1896, a dynamic young priest by the name of Father Pasquale Denisco took over at Our Lady of Mount Carmel. Denisco set up spiritual societies and organized festivals. He encouraged the town folk to clear the land and plant onions, beans, potatoes, melons, and fruit trees in the long backyards behind their houses. He gave out seeds and bulbs. The town came to life. The Rosettans began raising pigs in their backyards and growing grapes for homemade wine. Schools, a park, a convent, and a cemetery were built. Small shops and bakeries and restaurants and bars opened along Garibaldi Avenue. More than a dozen factories sprang up, making blouses for the garment trade. Neighboring Bangor was largely Welsh and English, and the next town over was overwhelmingly German, which meant, given the fractious relationships between the English and Germans and Italians in those years, that Fruzeto stayed strictly for Rosettans. If you had wandered up and down the streets of Fruzeto in Pennsylvania in the first few decades after 1900, you would have heard only Italian spoken. And not just any Italian, but the precise southern Foggian dialect spoken back in the Italian Fruzeto. Fruzeto, Pennsylvania was its own tiny self-sufficient world, all but unknown by the society around it, and may well have remained so, but for a man named Stuart Wolfe. Wolfe was a physician. He studied digestion in the stomach and taught in the medical school at the University of Oklahoma. He spent his summers on a farm in Pennsylvania, not far from Fruzeto, although that, of course, didn't mean much, since Fruzeto was so much in its own world, it was possible to live one town over and never know much about it. One of the times when we were up there for the summer, this would have been in the late 1950s, I was invited to give a talk at the local medical society, Wolfe said years later in an interview. After the talk was over, one of the local doctors invited me to have a beer. And while we were having a drink, he said, "You know, I've been practicing for 17 years. I get patients from all over, and I rarely find anyone from Fruzeto under the age of 65 with heart disease." Wolfe was taken aback. This was the 1950s, years before the advent of cholesterol-lowering drugs and aggressive prevention of heart disease.